Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And what a broadcast extravaganza our producer Kevin Hur has set up for today.
I do what I can.
We'll get to that later.
More on that later.
That's on the after show.
More on that breaking news later on the after show.
Today, Greg Brown, the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates, is going to join us from Bradenton, Florida. And from Indianapolis, we'll be joined by Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber today. That is today's show in a nutshell.
Is she at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? No, I didn't think so. Just a thought.
Do you keep up with sports?
Well, mine.
Yeah, I keep up with my sports.
I keep up with all of my sports.
She is at the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament.
Of
the
course.
The Lady Lions are playing today against Illinois in the Big Ten Women's Tournament at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, the home of the Indiana Pacers. Do you follow us? No. Hey, Bucknell's going to play tomorrow night, by the way, at home. Tickets available. Come on out and see it. It's Patriot League basketball tournament. They play tomorrow night. And we congratulate Nathan Davis on being the Patriot League Coach of the Year, and Chris Haas made first team. And Haas can flat out play, can he? Man, he is one tough guy when it comes to how he plays offense. And Nana Fallon and Ryan Frazier were both named to the Academic All-Patriot team. Now, that's really, really cool because guess what? In this conference, academics means a ton. It means a ton. Holy Cross tomorrow night, Patriot League quarterfinals. They beat Loyola last night. 7 o'clock, tickets available at Soika for that one. We have a lot of ground to cover today. We're going to talk baseball with Greg Brown for Bradenton. We're going to talk a lot about Penn State with Athletic Director Sandy Barber in the 4 o'clock half hour. Greg will be in the 3:30 half hour. And let's see, do we have a memo from you today?
We do. It's not a long, drawn-out one, but
hold on, let's see here what we got. What does it take to win the St. Petersburg race?
Well, it's going to take an outstanding car and knowing the aerodynamics package. That one I can answer for you.
No. Okay. Let's see. Rundown. Greg Brown. Okay. Flacco signs 3-year contract extension. $44 million fully guaranteed. Something tells me they get some cap relief under this thing.
That's exactly what the point of that was. Yeah. And you know what? Good for Joe Flacco to actually do that.
Well, I mean, something Tom Brady's done forever.
Well, but I mean, he realizes that they need a lot of things if they want to be competitive, and if he wants another shot at a ring before his retirement. So good for him.
Who was the 20th ranked starting quarterback in salary last year?
20th. I'm going to guess Flacco.
No, it was Tom Brady.
Oh, okay.
Brady made $9 million last year. Okay, nine. He didn't make 22, he made 9.
Yeah, the problem is he made 90 in endorsements.
He's not a big endorsement guy, though. I mean, how many commercials do you see Tom Brady on? He does the one shoe commercial, and that's it.
I was going to say, I've seen him in a shoe.
That's it. He's not Manning.
That's true. You know, it's not a Papa John's every 5 seconds. Yeah. Let's see.
Or nationwide or whatever. Sports Illustrated reporting that the catch rule will not likely change next season. What bothers me is that they're comfortable with it. Really? You're comfortable with that?
That makes no sense.
Okay? When every single person watching the game, from announcers to fans to officials to players, not one of them knows what it is, but you're comfortable with it.
Well, here's the other thing that gets me,
really?
Steve. Not only does no one seem to understand what the catch rule really says, but then when you have experts on the broadcast that actually officiated for dozens of years, and they're getting it wrong.
They don't know. They have no clue. Nobody knows.
And I actually heard Ferreira say that it's his interpretation of the rule is this. When you have to have each individual official interpreting a rule, maybe that rule needs to be clarified.
They've botched this to the point where, to me, it's somewhat embarrassing. You don't know what a catch is? I mean, all this, like, you got to make a football move. You got to do this. You can't do that. You got to complete it. Oh, for goodness sakes. You've made it so complicated that, you know, all those people they're bringing in for the geniuses on the tax return thing that say, you know, did you buy a home last year? Yes. Then hit that button. Right? Come on. I mean, it's absurd. It's absurd.
I mean, have you read that catch rule, Steve?
Nope. Don't even bother doing it because I don't think it's worth even.
But that's my point. I mean, you can't understand
it. It's not even worth it.
You can't understand it.
It's not worth doing. Because you can't understand it, because I don't think they understand.
No.
What should fans look for with their teams during spring training?
Well, you don't worry about the records. You don't worry about how many runs are scored.
Injuries?
Okay.
After that? That's it.
Yeah, and I just wondered, as a fan... You know, I've watched it and went, oh, man, this has been a terrible spring. Look at their record. Look at how many runs they're giving up. Well, when you analyze all that, it's like it's not the same team every day going out there. Some guys are only playing a couple of innings and then they're done. So exactly what, as a fan, should I be looking at you said injuries, but besides that, is there anything else to look at in the spring training games?
Injuries. It's injuries, and then who fills 20 through 25. I think most teams have a pretty good idea who their first 19 guys are. How about that?
That's a good one. I like so that.
So then who will fill 20 through 25? Really established team, it's, you know, you're probably only filling 22, 23, 24, 25. Less established team may have to fill 18 through 25. But I think you're looking to see is who has the shot to be the 20 to 25, the last spots, the 20 through 25 spots on the roster. Who will fill that? I would look for that as to who's got a shot to do it. Who could be the fifth outfielder? Who might be the extra infielder? Who might be a middle relief guy that could fill and get a couple of spots? You know, most teams have their starting rotation pretty well set about where they are. Who's coming off an injury and they look like they're back in the groove again? Who's coming off an injury and they can't quite get over the hump and need more time? I mean, those are the things you look at. Other than that, I think it's just the fun of seeing baseball being played again. I don't take spring training that seriously at all. I don't. There's too many other things going on because, you know, you can go through spring training, you're 0 for 44 at the plate. And suddenly on April 1st, opening day of the season, you go out 2 for 4. Guess what your batting average is? 500.
About 500?
Yeah. Hey, you're not 2 for 48, you're 2 for 4. So the other stuff doesn't count. That's why I don't put too much stock in it. Cincinnati looking to move to the Big 12. Who else could or can make the move?
And the reason I say can make the moves, because that's a financial question now with all the penalties that some of these leagues have put in, or conferences.
Yeah. Well, obviously, Cincinnati's in the same conference with UConn right now. So UConn would be one that you'd take a long look at. And Cincinnati would give West Virginia, and say they put UConn in, it would give West Virginia an Eastern partner. Because right now, the closest road opponent West Virginia has in the Big 12 is Iowa State. Okay, that's the closest road opponent they have, Iowa State. If you were to get Cincinnati and UConn in there, okay. Now let's throw out some other possibilities. SMU, Houston, maybe. And then there's the BYU factor. But BYU's, here's the BYU problem. The BYU problem is as follows. Most conferences use Sunday for women's basketball, soccer, soccer, field hockey, things like this. There's a lot of Sunday sports that take place with your non-revenue producing sports. BYU does not play on Sundays. So having them in a conference does handicap your scheduling that you do have to overcome to have them in your conference. They do provide the Salt Lake City market for you. But Cincinnati provides the Cincinnati market for you, although let's face it, Ohio State probably is more dominant in Cincinnati than Cincinnati is. UConn provides the Hartford, which is the Connecticut market, which is ranked in the top 40. Okay, they bring great basketball to the table. And with Bob Diaco, maybe a little bit better in football coming up. We'll see. So that's what you look at as to possibilities. So the possibilities in my head would be Houston, SMU, BYU, Cincinnati, UConn. Central Florida. Central Florida is another one. And so South Florida. That you take a good, long, hard look at. So, I mean, there are possibilities out there. The question is, here's the issue when you expand. When you expand, there has to be some sort of financial benefit that makes the conference stronger, more powerful, and gets more money into the mix. Why is that? Because now, instead of having, in the Big 12's case, 10 slices of pie, you would now have a dozen slices of pie. Well, the pie remains the same financially. A dozen slices of pie means less money in that slice to create a hole. But if you bring in somebody that expands the pie, not only in terms of slices, but expands the financial pie where suddenly everybody's getting a little bit more, now it makes a difference. When Penn State came into the Big Ten, the next thing they did was negotiate a Big Ten television deal, which was the highest in conference history. Thus, everybody in the 10 institutions that had been in there before Penn State were getting X amount of money before Penn State, but then got more money each after Penn State came in because Penn State expanded the pie because they brought in Philadelphia, D.C., Baltimore, Pittsburgh, you know, New York in a lot of ways. And that was the pitch that Jim Delaney made at the time. And then Penn State helped out the pie by getting to the Fiesta Bowl in 96, which at that time wasn't called it at that point, but it was the first of the BCS bowls that had a huge payout. And there was a guy at Purdue that I knew that said, you know what, when you guys got into the Big Ten, I was against it. He said, then we get the Fiesta Bowl check. He said, I love those guys. And that's where you make it. But I'm telling you, it was a serious meeting. He's dead serious about it. And then when Nebraska came in, how did Nebraska expand the Big Ten slices of pie? Because when Nebraska came in, that gave them 12 schools, which then allowed them to have a conference championship game, which was worth $25 million, which then got kicked into the pool, and everybody's slice of pie got bigger. Rutgers and Maryland the fruit of having them in the conference is about to be realized over the next, let's say, 6 to 7 months here. You will hear the Big Ten announce its new TV deal, and by having the D.C., Baltimore, Jersey in the New York City corridor, by having Maryland and Rutgers both in there in conjunction with Penn State, so now you've got an Eastern presence in the league, that's where the financial payoff is going to be. And, of course, for Rutgers and Maryland, it'll take a little while to get there because they're in year two of what is a 6-year financial integration into the television contract. Every time it's a 6-year integration. So Nebraska's finishing up year four. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, they're finishing up year four. Nebraska's got 2 more years before they get a full slice of the pie. So that's how it works, the Big Ten. You get a 6-year integration into this thing. Now, Penn State didn't have that when they got in the 90s. Penn State was able to get its full slice of pie right away. But they changed that rule over time. And so Nebraska's got 4 years down, 2 to go before they're fully integrated. It's on a rising scale. And Rutgers and Maryland are 2 years in with 4 to go. So by the time we get to 2020, all 14 schools will be getting the exact slice of pie.
That leads me to this question now. As you look at the...
And we're out of time.
As you look at the American, if say, Cincinnati does decide to leave and one or maybe more of the Floridas, where do they end up looking now to replace those teams? Do they have
Conference USA.
And then where does Conference USA look to replace those teams? Do they have to start then looking at FCS Kevin, schools that want to move up?
No, Kevin, they're in a different category than the Power Five conferences. They don't have big time television deals,
right?
As opposed to, I mean, let's take the SEC. The SEC has the SEC network. They've got ESPN. They've got CBS. And it goes on and on as to what they have. I mean, the Big Ten has Fox, CBS. They have ESPN. They have the Big Ten network. I mean, Conference USA, for example, you know, takes what they can get from ESPN. After that, and the same thing with the American does not have an extensive television contract. Even though the American is run by a first-rate guy that happens to be who worked at CBS for years and understands how the whole thing works. I mean, that helps them, but it only gets them to a point. It only gets them to a point. And that's the problem with, you know, that next tier of conferences. Even the Pac-12 is struggling right now. The Pac-12 is struggling a bit in its television contracts. They have, you know, really good contracts with Fox and a really good contract with ESPN. But the Pac-12 network is not like the SEC network and BTN, which are cable networks that you can also pick up on satellite. The Pac-12 is a series of cobbled together satellite networks. I think it's through DirecTV.
No, there are a lot of regionals. Yeah, they're regional sports networks.
They've had a lot of problems getting them all on board out there, and because of that, they're not getting the money out of it that they had hoped. The Big 12 doesn't have that, and the ACC doesn't have it. So the SEC and the Big Ten Network have a huge advantage.
Yeah, the Sun Belt's going to have themselves a really big problem here coming up very soon. I mean, you look at some of the teams playing as of the 18 season or the 17 season. You have Appalachian State, you have Arkansas State, Georgia Southern, Coastal Carolina's moving into that league in 2017, Texas State. I mean, these are not what I would call big name football schools in Division One to be competitive and bring some kind of money to the conference. Those teams, if they lose teams to the Big 12, they're in trouble.
They also bring no television ratings.
Yes.
They also bring no television, and they also bring no television markets.
And you're right.
And now, is that a way to judge things? No, but again, we're trying to have a realistic conversation with the audience here about, you know, I mean, you want to do pie in the sky? Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. That's not how it goes. Okay. How it goes is, how can you somehow make this financially viable? And then you go through the ivory tower deal. We will come back, bottom of the hour, and then we'll have Greg Brown, Sandy Barber later. A lot going on. And Greg Pickle coming up tomorrow to talk about recruiting as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Roads 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Still to come in just a few minutes. Greg Brown, the play-by-play voice of the Pirates. He'll join us from Bradenton today. That's just a few minutes away. Next half hour from Indianapolis, Sandy Barber, Penn State's athletic director, to join us. Plus open lines in the final half hour of the show today at 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Time now for this day in sports history. In 1927, Babe Ruth signed a three-year deal with the Yankees worth $70,000 a year. He was asked about his contract, and he said, "You're making more money than the president." And he said, "I had a better year than Calvin Coolidge." 1929, George Hainsworth of the Montreal Canadiens recorded his 20th shutout of the season. He ended the season with an NHL record 22 shutouts in a year. 1962, Wilt Chamberlain scored 100 points against the New York Knicks. They beat the Knicks 169-147. Bill Campbell, whom I had the privilege of working a half season with in 1987, late Bill Campbell, really liked Bill a lot. What a great guy. And enjoyed working with him. And he did that game. There's only one recording of it. It was his recording that he had. The game did not officially end. They stormed the floor when he got to 100. And a 15-year-old, who was one of the 4,000 that got a ticket and essentially walked in and just hung in there all day, all night, and watched this, when the basketball was loose, he picked it up and took it home. Great story. Let's see, 1966, Bobby Hull of the Blackhawks became the first NHL player to score 50 goals in a season. 1969, Phil Esposito became the first NHL player to hit 100 points in a season. Bobby Hull and Gordie Howe eventually joined him that year.
1 hour, we are having a little bit of a problem with the connection to the Sunbury Motors studio here this afternoon. Trying to get things reconnected here, and maybe we'll get a chance to be able to lock in here and have Steve talk a little Pirates baseball in just a few minutes. But we will work on that. And in the meantime, we'll take this opportunity to pause.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Joined by the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates, Greg Brown. Greg, first of all, welcome. And we were talking before we went on about the offseason. How long does it take for you to recharge yourself after what really is a grind of, you know, 190, 195 games when it's all said and done?
Steve, you know, we were talking, before we went on the air. It's really hard for me to believe that it's, 4 months when all is said and done, since our last broadcast. It feels like just yesterday. So I guess the answer to the question is, I look forward to getting back to it. And, you know, we did our first broadcast yesterday. But I will not lie. I love the off season. And it just absolutely flies by. People ask me what I do during the off season. I can't explain it. I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You you recharge, you get ready, because from now until hopefully late October, maybe even early November, we're pretty much at it every single day. And you do need that time off. So, I'll take what I get, whether it's 4 months or 5 months, whatever it takes, and get back to work. And I'm looking forward to it.
You throw a lot of justified passion into a broadcast. I mean, you're out there living it with them. I think anybody who listens to you knows that. What has the last couple of years been like to see that kind of passion come through not only on the air, but see it before your eyes?
Well, I've always tried to, even when the team was losing, to take it kind of one game at a time, the old cliche, but I really mm-hmm. did. I never took when they were losing for the whether it was 5 years, 10, 15, almost 20 years, I never took that into the booth with me as a big burden. So I just kind of went at it one game at a time. And I guess I got a taste of it in 2011 when they were in it at the All-Star break. And I thought how cool this would be. And then 2012, they had the great collapse in September. We were making plans to go to Atlanta for a playoff game as early as the first week in September. And then there was just a collapse. So it would kind of build up to 2013. And now, you know, now I think we're all spoiled. Now we think we want to do this every year. But at least I think we know going into a season, whereas before we were searching for little snippets of a good story here and there. And you know, you talked a good game about, well, maybe the Pirates, if everything fell into place, they could compete. Now we know going into a season that they are going to be competitive and that it is very likely that come September, they are going to be in a pennant race. And I think for me, maybe that's the biggest difference. It's an easier, you know, going back to the off-season question, it's an easier February and March for me, knowing that it's going to be a playoff-type atmosphere every game into September.
And, you know, I mean, you and I both do this, so, I mean, you know, it's not a cliche. You literally do one game at a time. And I think a lot of people don't realize that sometimes, that you really do just get locked in on what's in the present tense for you.
Yeah, because every game, even when the team was losing,
we're all different.
As you prepare for a ball game, exactly, you're preparing for that game that night, and you're looking at, you know, the two starting pitchers. Yeah, you look at the record, and maybe the Pirates were well out of the race for those 20 years by July, but maybe they were playing a team that was in the pennant race, or they're playing a team with a superstar. Maybe the Pirates had an up-and-coming young player like Andrew McCutchen, or the pitcher on the mound was a possible star in the making. And so you look for those individual stories leading up to that particular ball game that night, and not, you know, you really get caught up in where they are in the standings and how bad it's been. It's just, each game is absolutely a different story. Heck, you could say that really about the spring training. I think that prepares us for the season. You look at these individual performances yesterday. That Kyle Lobstein was the starting pitcher for the Pirates, a former Tiger,
right,
facing his former team. And you looked at the young players that have a chance to break camp or might help the team this summer. That is kind of what we've been doing for me now, close to 23 years.
Greg, what's your approach, and you touched on yesterday's game, but what's your approach early in spring training as to, you know, what are you looking for? I mean, experience tells you some things that give you hints as to what you're looking for. So give us a hint as to what you're looking for as you approach the first couple of weeks as opposed to maybe the last week.
Well, like Lobstein, who started yesterday, and Wilfredo Boscan was a pitcher who started last year for Triple A Indianapolis in the Pirates organization, had an ERA just over 3. And I did not recall seeing him pitch at all. So I just kind of want to watch, see what his stuff was like, knowing and realizing that he'll begin the year in the minor leagues, but sometime this summer, I'll bet you we end up seeing this Boscan guy. And I'll try to, as we're watching him, keep that in the back of my mind, and maybe does he have any kind of quirks, any interesting tidbits I can find of him. Today, Jeff Locke, for example, Steve, Jeff Locke is going today for the Pirates against Detroit at McKechnie Field. He has gotten rid of this little twist, this turn in the rotation as he had gone into his windup up until now. He had been turning almost like Johnny Cueto or Louis Tion, where he faces second base for a moment and then delivers to home plate. Well, they've gotten rid of that. I'll be watching that. I watched a young player, Gift Ngope, a South African native who had been in the minor leagues for the Pirates, make a couple of spectacular plays at shortstop yesterday and realize he could help the team down the road. I guess I'm looking more at the minor leaguers now for the first couple weeks, knowing they'll be in the minor leagues at the start of the year, but looking forward to the day that they become a big leaguer and remembering the days we saw them make some plays in spring training.
Yeah, Gift Ngope, in fact, started here in State College, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's right, of course, yeah.
Gerrit Cole, now we know what the situation is with him. The Pirates have a budget. Greg, how much has that budget, in your opinion, actually paid off in their flexibility to make some moves in August, where this is really part of an overall bigger chess game that maybe the fans don't see initially?
Well, I think that explains it right there, Steve. I think that's as well said as anybody and concise as I could put it. I think that's the bottom line, is that, you know, I actually heard a national ESPN guy yesterday kind of getting on the Pirates for not thinking about Gerrit Cole's feelings and how come they didn't offer not just an extra 10, but how about $100,000, $200,000? Well, you do that 5, 6, 7, 10 times, you're talking a couple million dollars that could add a player at the deadline, which the Pirates have been able to do the last 3 or 4 years. You know, remember, they acquired like a Marlon Byrd that put him over the top and Justin Morneau in 2013. They acquired Aramis Ramirez, Joaquin Soria, Joe Blanton last year. Though, even though it seems like people say, oh, they're nickel and diming, well, no, they're actually looking at these monies, these dollars that will help them not only reach the postseason, but put them over the top so that they go deep into the postseason. This is what has allowed the Pirates to be involved in a pennant race for 4 straight years now. And people can scoff at Bob Nutting and call him cheap and penny pinching. And of course, I've also said this too, Steve. For me, you know, as a play-by-play guy, once the games begin, you know, we don't get caught up in the dollars and the salaries. But I don't care whether Bob Nutting spends $50 or $550 million, right, as long as he contends. And the obsession of fans and media of why they want Nutting. It's not good enough to go to the playoffs 3 straight years, have the best record, second best record in all of baseball 3 straight years. They want them like to do it by spending $100 more million. I don't understand the obsession. It's not good enough to win. We want you to win by spending more money.
Right. And Gerrit Cole, by the way, did get an $8 million signing bonus.
Exactly.
To start things out. Just a couple of quick things. What do you just quick impression from camp as a final question for you, Greg? What's your quick impression? Did they come back in shape? Do you like what you're seeing so far?
Yeah, early on, Steve, of course, I do. I guess going back to your question about what you're looking for, the one thing that is a bit intriguing, and I don't know if I agree with it or not, to be honest with you, but there have been so many questions about the Pirates not getting off to a good start. They want to have a better start in April. I think they went 12-9 last year in April. Right. But the last few years, it seems like they got to kind of a sluggish start in the first month of the season. And Clint Hurdle is not dismissing that. He's been using the quote now the last few days, we're going full metal jacket on the offense. So he's hitting and running a lot, looking for ways that they could get out of the gate faster. I don't know if I agree with that. When a team wins 98 games, second most in all of Major League Baseball. Only the sixth time in the 130-year history of the Pirates did they win that many games. It's hard to quibble over winning more games in April. I mean, if you win more games in September and you go to the playoffs, then so be it. I guess, you know, if you have to trade off one month for another, so what? But I guess they're taking it seriously, and that's, I guess I'm kind of looking at that, like how they're going to do something different in March to get off to a better start in April. That's a bit intriguing, and again, whether I agree with it or not, the Pirates are taking it seriously.
Greg, tremendous respect as always. Thanks so much for the time.
Hey, Steve, always great talking to you. Thank you so much. Likewise, great respect for you, Steve.
Greg Brown, the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Greg has really developed into, I think, an outstanding play-by-play guy. He's really good. He gives plenty of props and respect to the opponent. If Chris Bryant is red hot at the plate, he'll tell you Chris Bryant's red hot at the plate and how good he is. But when the Pirates do something big time, he enhances it with his call. He's really good. He's really like it. Think about the legendary voices that we've had in this state. Harry Callis, By Som, we mentioned Bill Campbell, Gene Hart with the Flyers, Merrill Reese, Bill Hillgrove has done Pitt football and basketball for 45 seasons. Now he's doing the Steelers. And he's in the Steelers for a couple of decades minimum. Before that, it was Jack Fleming. Mike Lang with the Penguins. Rosie Rosewell, Bob Prince, Jim Woods, Lanny Fitteri, now Greg Brown, Fran Fischer here at Penn State. This state has had a lot of legendary voices. A lot of legendary voices. And Kevin Herr on Chicolumbee football.
That's just notorious, not necessarily legendary.
Oh, come on. We'd love when you do that touchdown Chicolumbee thing. Come on. That's your bag. That's your deal. You know?
It's been fun. It's been fun.
It should be fun. We're going to have, coming up, Greg Pickle tomorrow. We're going to get Jeff Byers on. Because the Big Ten Wrestling Championships are coming up. And then the exact same guys will go to Madison Square Garden and do it again in 2 weeks. I'm just kidding. It's about the state of it, I think. And Nate Cobbler is going to join us as well. Talk about the Big Ten Wrestling Championship. Finally, some Penn State and Iowa action head-to-head. Looking forward to that. We've got Tony DeFazio on Friday. We have Sandy Barber next half hour, the athletic director of Penn State. So we are loaded with plenty of guests and diverse topics to discuss on the show here over the next few days. Next week, of course, a lot of March Madness going on, and I can't begin to tell you what day Penn State is playing and what hour they're playing. I don't know. And that goes back to what Greg Brown was talking about. When you do this, you really do stay, for the most part, in the moment. Now, do I know Penn State's playing Illinois Sunday at noon? Yes, because of the postgame show, I'm going to have to tell you Penn State's playing at noon on Sunday, and we're on at 11:30. Now, that part I do know. After that, I have not really thought about Big Ten. And people think that you're playing some game with them. That, oh, come on, you must have thought about the tournament. No, I mean, I've got to do this game on Thursday night. When I'm done with that, I'm then going to get ready for Sunday. When Sunday's over with, I will then get ready for the Big Ten tournament. And sometimes I think people think that you're pulling their leg. I think they're surprised when you say it. And I understand that. But when you're a fan, you're looking at all these things. And I totally understand. You're looking at this. If you put yourself into my shoes, where you've got a talk show and a game, I mean, tomorrow I've got this show, followed by the network talk show, followed by the game. where in there am I thinking about next week's Big Ten tournament?
Oh, and then you got another talk show on Monday from the network.
Yes. Yeah, we had to do that on Monday. Not knowing the scenario for next week as to whether they're playing Wednesday or Thursday, they thought it was best to do it on Monday. Which is fine. Now then I'll know about the Big Ten tournament.